The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. As we come to this passage of Scripture, we enter into a section of Mark's Gospel where Jesus begins to teach by the way of parables. Let me remind you what parables are, and begin by saying that parables are not just good and gospel illustrations, but they're more than that. Sinclair Ferguson has described them as spiritual weapons in the hands of Jesus the King. And so that's exactly how Jesus makes use of parables, is that they are stories that become illustrations to press home the point of the gospel truth to the hearts of people. And so as Jesus uses parables, he's aiming at a target. He's aiming at the heart of his hearers. And so this morning we're studying the parable of the sower, or in my opinion, more appropriately, the parable of the soils, the four soils of the hearers of the Word of God. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Let's read the Word of God. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear it, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." This is the word of God. May the Lord add its truth to our hearts and cause us to rejoice in his mercies. Let us pray together again. Heavenly Father, as we have read your word, I pray that you would cause us to be hearers of the word. That, Lord, we will receive the teaching of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, you would give conviction to our hearts. That, Lord, this morning we would be confronted about the way in which we come into this hour of worship and the way in which we deal with the holiest thing that you have given us in physical form, and that is the Word of God, until the coming of our Savior on the day of glory. Father, help us, I pray. Help us to be a people grown up in the things of Christ, that we might bear much fruit in the hearing of the Scriptures. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This last week I found myself sitting in a doctor's office in Böblingen with my older son Haddon. He was having his yearly physical examination, and a portion of that is a hearing test. And so you have little four-year-old Haddon with a great giant set of headphones on his ears, and they barely fit and almost wobbling off his head. And the doctor tells him that they're going to play a game, that he's going to listen really carefully to hear a sound, and that when he hears the sound, he's to push the button that's right in front of him. And he thinks, that's a great game to play. What fun. And the whole point of this, of course, is for the doctor to gauge the hearing ability of a child. Because hearing is an important part of life. You see, for him, as well as for us, as we go through life, hearing is a wonderful thing. We hear birds chirping. We hear the flowing of water. We hear more than that, though, don't we? We hear the voices of those, of people who sing and who produce music. And it rejoices our hearts, if it's good and godly music, that is. Importantly, we hear the voice of our parents. They give instruction and guidance on how we should grow and live. But we also hear the words that are affirming or confronting of friends. But most importantly, we hear teachers and preaching. Hearing is of the utmost importance for the lives of people. It's not simply that you hear the sound of an audio tone, but that you perceive in your mind and in your heart what's being communicated to you. And so this morning, as we study the parable that Jesus has given to his hearers, Jesus is focusing on administering a spiritual hearing exam. That's what he's doing. He wants those who are seated around him as he's on his floating pulpit on the Sea of Galilee, standing in a boat, to ask themselves the question, am I hearing rightly? That is, am I accepting the word of Christ? Is it ministering to my mind and to my heart? Is it coming to me and confronting me and changing me? You see, that's the point. That's why the parable is so simple. That's the goal. It's to be a spiritual weapons in the hand of our King to wage war in the hearts of the people of God. You see, thus far in Jesus' ministry, he's had many hearers. We've seen Jesus speak to the people of Galilee in general as he's gone and as he's taught and amassed great crowds and a whole plethora of people to him. We've seen Jesus teach and speak to fishermen who heard his word and then followed him. Jesus has spoken to the citizens of Capernaum. He's healed many of them. And they've also heard his voice as he's cast out demons, even in the synagogue. Jesus has been heard by scribes and Pharisees, the theologians and the rigorous of their day. Jesus has been heard by his family members and those who are closest to him. And the thing that we've observed as we've studied the Gospel of Mark is that there are generally two responses. There are those who hear the teaching of Jesus and receive it. And then there are those who hear the teaching of Jesus and reject it. One of the things that I'm confronted with in the Gospel of Mark, and truly in all the Gospels, is that if I were to come to the Bible and make an assumption about who would receive the teaching of Jesus, I would usually assume that it would be the theologically astute. Those who are engaged in theological conversation and discourse. The scribes, you see, wouldn't they want to know what Jesus is saying and interact with him and receive his word? That's not what happened. Or maybe the Pharisees. After all, they are the rigorous and the holy people of their day. Wouldn't they want to interact with Jesus who never sinned and hear his word and receive it? But they didn't. Or surely I would think that the family members of Jesus, wouldn't they receive the word of Jesus? They know him. They know him more fully than most people. Wouldn't they receive his word? But what did they do when they heard his preaching and teaching? They thought he'd lost his mind. But it's the people that you wouldn't expect, right? That have received the word of Jesus. It's strangers. It's men in boats who are fishermen.
uneducated and unprepared. They're caught off guard in their daily walk and in their regular work that the Lord has given them. They hear Jesus' word and they receive it. Then there are other people who are struggling and suffering, whether it's with ailments or with demon possession. They hear the word of Christ and they receive it. And crowds gather around him and they receive it. But let me point something out. All of these people were hearing this same word. It wasn't two different messages. And in most situations, it wasn't even two different circumstances or messages. It was one word in the form of a seed going forth and being rejected by some people and received by others. That's a conundrum. Some people would proclaim they met the Lord of glory, and other people would claim they met a charlatan and a psychopath. The word of the Lord, and what's the difference? It's how they hear the word. And so Jesus interacts with his people, those who are hearing him. Verse 3, he says to them, listen. In verse 9, his exhortation, those of you who have ears to hear, hear. You see, that's the focus of what Jesus is dealing with. The hearing of the word of God. As we come to the passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 11 are the first section where Jesus gives the unexplained parable. Verses 12 through 20, Jesus explains the parable to his disciples. Those are two divisions, but our two points, if you're a sermon note taker this morning, are, firstly, the character of preaching. That's the first point. And then secondly, four profiles of hearing. Four profiles of hearing. As we've already noted, here is Jesus. He's at the edge of the Sea of Galilee and he's teaching. And Jesus does an interesting thing, something I even wondered if this Lord's Day we'd be forced to do if we had to meet outside. Jesus has them put him out in a boat offshore so that people can see him, so they can hear him, and so that he can freely teach without being crushed by a multitude of people who are eager to find out what he has to say. And so as Jesus speaks to the crowd, he gives the parable. And in as we come to the scripture, he says, behold, a sower went out to sow. And in this one phrase, Jesus describes for us the character of preaching. There is something here for you to learn and for us to see as a congregation, and something that's instructive for how we do what we're doing right now, this morning, and in coming Lord's Day. How we understand the character of preaching. And so what Jesus says, and he explains it in verse 14, is that the sower sows the word. The picture of the sower, what is it? It's the picture of a preacher preaching the word of God. And you see, Jesus chooses this depiction, this image of a sower sowing seed very particularly. This isn't haphazard. He's not trying to hijack a social moray for the sake of his message. No, he is pointing to something in particular to show those who hear him, particularly what preaching is really like and what the current and true state of affairs are. That preaching is like sowing or broadcasting seed, and that the word of God is like a seed. In my former call, some of you may be familiar with the fact that I lived and pastored in an agricultural region of the United States. A lot of farmers were in our town, and really for 100 miles in most directions. Farming was the particular and primary employment of our people. People in my church were farmers of plantations. It wasn't chicken farming and cattle farming. No, it was the planting of seed. It was the planting of cotton, corn, and soybeans. And let me tell you, friends, in my whole life, I never, ever prayed so much for rain and sunshine, for 70 degrees and 90 degrees. I've never prayed like that until I pastored our church. You see, my people were farmers. Everybody had a piece of dirt with their name on it, whether it was the 85-year-old lady who had someone farming her land or the plantation owner who was responsible for 10,000 acres. 4,046 hectares as a translation. A lot of land. My people were farming. So I got to learn a few things. Because one of the things that I knew is that when it was planting season, my farmers were gone. In fact, most of the town was gone unless they were replacing and repairing tractors or tractor tires. You see, there's some particular things that accompany the work of planting and sowing. And so I saw it in my town. And so I think one of the things that we can do is we can learn a little bit from real world applications of what Jesus is using to describe the work of preaching. You see, my men would acquire the very best seed that was available to them. And trust me, not all seed is the same. There are different kinds of seed. A certain type of corn might produce more, or might produce sweet corn, or might produce corn for something like a petroleum product or an add-in to your petrol. They need to have specific seed, and the best seed available. That's the first thing that a sower of seed would do. The second thing is that they would make adequate preparations. My men made a variety of preparations, whether it was repairing the grain storage units they had, whether it was making sure the tractors were in place, whether it was employing new workers, whether it was sowing fertilizer into the soil at a different season so that he would be prepared months in advance for when the day was right. Preparations are important. So they would make adequate preparations. The second thing that a sower will do. Thirdly, a sower must sow at the right time. They must sow at particularly the right time. And if you ever speak to farmers, one of the things you'll learn is that they pay attention to things that you and I generally bypass. They pay attention to temperature progressions. They pay attention to the flow of the jet stream. They pay attention to a hygrometer reading of the moisture of the soil. They pay attention to forecast moons. They pay attention to everything. And it has to be just right. Because if you put the seed in the ground too early, it can rot. If you put it in too late, it might not grow to maturity. It's a very particular thing. So you have to sow at the right time. But then, fourthly, a sower broadcasts. Our passage of Scripture is not talking about the planting of corn or cotton or soybeans, but of grain, things like wheat and barley. And the manner in which that is done is it is broadcast or cast out just all over the ground so that it covers every inch and not an inch of the ground is wasted because the goal is to have the greatest harvest possible. So he has to broadcast or get the seed out. Plant the seed down in the ground. And then the last thing, the sower must wait on the Lord. You see, one of my elders who was a plantation owner and a farmer, he was famous for saying this, a godly man. He would say this, if not for the providence of God, all of this planting would be nothing more than a dangerous gamble. He was absolutely right. If not for the providence of God, all of this planting would be nothing more than a dangerous gamble. He once told me that thousands and thousands of dollars would be spent just in seed stock. Thousands and thousands of dollars would be spent just in fuel costs. And then more and more would be spent for workers and for the rent on the land. All of these different things. And all of it hinges on this magnificent reality that all of this can be done. And without the blessing of the sovereign God of heaven, nothing comes up out of the ground. Because what's he waiting on? He's waiting on the sprouting forth of new life. You have to wait on God to do that. You have to wait on God to do that. And so a good farmer, a good sower of seed needs to be on his knees in humble submission to the God of the universe. I think by now you may have picked up a little bit of the theme, a little bit of the big picture of what Jesus is trying to convey, that the preaching of the word is the sowing of seed and that the gospel is seed. That ministers of the gospel that preach the word should study, they should prepare, and then they should preach effectively in the right time and in the right day and have a sense about themselves to be careful with the hearts of the hearers so that all of the circumstances are at their very best. But here is the thing that you need to also see, that the work of preaching, like the work of casting out seed, is a work of broadcast. You may be sitting here this morning and you might think, you know, I've been in services before, Pastor, and I'm telling you, the pastor, he looked down from the pulpit and he looked right into my soul and he preached a sermon and it was like he knew who I was. Like he was in the back of my house and he heard my breakdown early in the week and he preached to my problem and my issue. It's like that guy, he's got superhero abilities. I promise you, he does not and did not. We don't know secret things about you unless you divulge them or we happen to catch you in the middle of it. We're humans. It's not a thing that we have. And the sermons you've heard have been broadcast sermons. Certainly, they have been prepared and they have been particularly sown at the right time with the best knowledge for the sake of its impact. But still, the preached word is broadcast as if we're just casting seed all over this room, hoping to cover every square inch, trusting in the Lord and praying that He will give growth and give increase. That is what preaching is like. That's what it's like. And for anybody in the room that thinks otherwise, I'm so sorry, but that's not the Bible's depiction of preaching. Jesus didn't know that the people who were coming to Him according to His humanity would come. According to His divinity, He knew all things. But the people in front of Him who were coming to Him, He was broadcasting seed. It's how He describes His own ministry to a listening plethora of people. The work of preaching. What is the great call for the preacher? It is to be faithful in doing the work and making preparation. And then it is to be full of faith in God that He will bless it. You understand those two things? That is the great strain and struggle and agony of the heart of every preacher. We wish we could download exactly what we want in your hearts, but it's not possible. But that's the work of preaching. Jesus gives this as a characterization of what preaching is on purpose, because there's something that needs to be pointed out, that this parable is not a test on the seed or the seed sower. It's not. This is not even a parable particularly about the sower. It's a parable about the soils. That's why the majority of it's taken up with four different kinds of soils who receive or don't receive the word of God. And the reason why we point this out is so that we can calibrate ourselves to understand what the work of preaching is for the sake of our own hearts, that we know what to expect. But we also know what we're responsible for. And so we go to the second point of the sermon, four profiles of hearing. There are those who are hardened, there are those who are shallow, there are those who are strangled, and then there are those who are fertile. If you want to take subpoints, please get them. That's those. Hardened, shallow, strangled, and fertile. Four different kinds of soil, four different kinds of hearers that Jesus profiles for us and calls His hearers to attention concerning. These different soils, let's look over the passage one more time as Jesus gives the parable, and you'll see it again in fresh form. Verse 3. Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, and since it had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And then Jesus gives a description. You see, whenever Jesus is saying this, He is intending to touch the hearts of the people who are around Him. He is intending to cause conviction. Let me say that this is not a sermon whose points are only relevant to 2,000 years ago, but that this is a sermon for you and this is a sermon for me this morning. Jesus is meddling in my life and your life, and He is trying, by the power of the Word, to convict you and to make you ask questions about what you're doing right now. So let's look at these four profiles. Verse 4, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Verse 15, he gives a further explanation of this. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown, that when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. That's a simple picture. One of the things that come to love about Germany is the multitude of pathways and walking opportunities that we have, don't we? We have paved walking paths through areas that are just gorgeous, but we also have walking paths all through the forest. They may be animal paths or they may be paths that people have trodden down, but there's a truth about them, right? If you're to walk on them, it's generally much better to walk on the path than off the path, because on a rainy day, which we have plenty of, that path is still hard and generally okay for your shoes, right? You're not sinking down in it. It's become an earthen firmament. It's become its own pavement because of the constant walking, right? Well, that's something of the picture, right? That there is a pathway that's become hardened under feet who have trodden it down in the course of life. And as the word is broadcast over it like seed, what happens whenever something like a seed hits a hard surface? It just bounces off. It sits on the surface. It doesn't sink down. And so there it is. It's laying on the surface. It's exposed. It's not getting in. And so there's the danger of birds, or as Christ describes, that Satan can come and snatch away that wonderful seed of the Word of God. Nothing wrong with the seed. Something wrong with the soil. It's hard. There might be some of you here this morning who are hearing the Word and you've heard the Word preached many times, and you think generally of preaching as it's a nice thing to do. You go and you hear it and you listen to it, and it's something you do on Sunday, and then you leave out the door and, you know, okay, it's done. But ultimately, if you were to ask yourself the question and be pressed, does it matter? You'd say, not really. Not really. Have you ever been affected by the Word? Not really. Or maybe I could just ask you this morning, are you being affected by the Word right now? You may say, not really. It's kind of like it's bouncing off. It's kind of like it's bouncing off. Usually there are a whole multitude of excuses. Usually the pastor looks funny. He talks funny. He preaches confusing sermons. He lacks clarity. There's something wrong with the seed. This passage of Scripture says there's something wrong with the soil of the heart. The hardness of the heart. That's the picture. That's the picture that's being shown. And you have an enemy if you're like this here this morning and the word's just bouncing off. Satan doesn't want you to hear it. Satan doesn't want us here this morning. And he wants to snatch it away from you so that even the seed that might sit on the hard heart for a moment is going to get snatched away and replaced by some other word that is far less perfect and beautiful than the word of the gospel. Confront that in your heart this morning. Don't let the Word of God be snatched away. Don't be hard to the Word and resistant to its preaching. We have a second profile of hearer, the shallow hearer, verse 5. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, and since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Verses 16 and 17, Jesus gives the explanation to his disciples. He says that they immediately receive it with joy. That's the word. They endure for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately fall away. Who's this and what sort of heart is being evidenced in this passage? Well, it's those who are happy to be here. They enjoy hearing preaching. In fact, you leave here and you feel better than when you came. You feel much better than when you came. It's not only something that's a regular part of your life, but it's a joy to you. But here's the problem. Shallow soil. You see, the seed's not taken deeply because ultimately the very surface may be soft and pliable, but the very core is hard as a rock and still resistant. This is the Christian that five steps outside of the door can tell you the outline of the sermon. But if you were to press hard and say simply, and where is it in your heart and how did it affect you, would generally say, I don't know, I'm not sure. And 2 days later might simply say, I don't recall what was even said. Christians are called to meditate on the Word of God, to take it deep and let it take root. to water it and care for it with the work of prayer so that the Lord would give growth, to be receptive to the word, the shallow hearer, the shallow hearer. Thirdly, you have the strangled hearer. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. This is a terrifying one, I'll tell you the truth. When I read this, the minister wants to stand back a little bit because we know a bit about thorny Christians. Verses 18 and 19, Jesus gives the explanation. He's giving it to his disciples. And these are those who, whenever they hear the word, it's received, but then it's choked out by the cares of the world, worries, by the deceitfulness of riches, that is the greed, the selfishness of wealth, and then thirdly, the desire for other things. You could fill that in a lot of ways, but I can generally say that that to me reads as the critical spirit, a desire to hear a different kind of sermon with a different kind of voice in a different kind of way, with a different tone, with a different style. Or maybe even altogether desiring something that is alien to the Christian religion. The strangled soil, the strangled seed that kills the progress of the gospel. I want to camp out on this because I know that in my own heart, I have been very guilty of this. Examine your own. I can come into the service of worship and I can hear the word and I'm here for the right things. And my mind and my heart are clouded with everything outside that wall and I'm dominated. The word, yeah, it's received. Yeah, it goes in the ears. Yeah, it might even get into the heart a little bit. But by the time I get down the road or I get home, it's choked out. The voice of the gospel can't speak. It's done. And it's because I'm so worried and I'm so preoccupied with other things. The deceitfulness of riches, a materialism of the heart, not giving enough time and enough care to the spiritual need of the soul, to spend time with the word, but letting other things like television, like sports, like social interactions, like walking, like doing a million other things that you might entertain on the Lord's Day, not giving time for the word to take root and let it get choked out, even by family matters, instead of the matters of the soul. There are lots of different things that are riches concerning the heart. Are the desire for other things? No preacher has ever been perfect, but if a preacher is faithful, the gospel is preached. That's the truth. So many Christians, and I've been one of them, who hear gospel preachers adequately present the word, will hear the word critically. And they'll sit with a notepad in their mind or in their soul or on their lap and they'll take every jot and tittle. And they may not say a word to the pastor, but for lunch on the Lord's Day, what are they eating? They're eating roasted pastor with a side of sermon sauce. You see, it's not about what's being served as a happy meal for the soul, but it's about desiring other things. Something better. Boy, if he would preach better, if he would wear different clothes, if he would look different, if he wouldn't be that kind of guy from that kind of place using those kind of words, I would listen to him. And so what is it always thrown back upon with the critical hearing and the choked out word? It's always thrown out on the quality of the sower or on the quality of the seed that he sows. And Jesus is saying, that's not the problem. The problem's our hearts, our reception of the word of God. Christian, are you thorny? Are you choking out the word so that it can't bear fruit in your life? So many Christians look in the mirror and they examine themselves spiritually and they come to the conclusion in a moment of conviction that they are not bearing fruit like they should be. And the immediate question is always, well, something must be wrong there with the church and with that ministry. But the question should also be examined, is there something wrong with my heart? My handling of the word. Am I good soil? Am I receptive? The fourth hearer, the receptive soil, the good soil. Verse 8, another seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Verse 20, Jesus gives an explanation of that. But those that were sown in good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. What's the difference here? What makes a good soil? It is not only hearing, but it's accepting. Accepting the word of the Lord. One of the things that should be pointed out, and I think in my own heart as well, hopefully for you, is that when the word is read or preached, we're not ultimately called to a whole myriad of things that, while they may be good, can be dangerous. You're not called to be convinced. You're not called to be impressed or entertained. You're not called to be pleased or affirmed. You're not even necessarily always called to be comforted or even confronted. It's usually one or the other, maybe both. You're called to accept the word of God. The Puritans used a phrase to describe the reception of the preaching of the word, and you even see it in the building up of the way they constructed their churches. Protestants do this sort of here. The word's elevated for a reason, because we sit under the word physically, even as we submit ourselves spiritually to the word that we would receive it. The former church I worked in Savannah, Georgia, had a 12-foot tall pulpit. I don't know what that is, centimeters, but it's quite tall. The whole picture, the whole image was that you would simply sit under the reading of the word as if it were a fountain flowing over for the souls of the hearers of the word of God. That's the only way you're going to ever produce spiritual fruit, is to accept the word of God. Four profiles of soils, four profiles of hearers. And let me just say the staggering thing that you don't need to leave this parable without seeing and grappling with is that that is one out of four that bears fruit. It's a huge division. Whenever Jesus is grappling with this and his disciples are grappling with this, they come to him. He said to them, to you, verse 11, to you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. How you hear the word matters, Christians. It's life or it's death. Option A or B, black and white. It is of utmost importance, because there is one way to life and new life in the soul of a person, and that is to receive the word of God and all of its teaching, and to receive the Messiah that it proclaims in Jesus Christ. Nothing else will produce life, but only death. Only death. There could not be a more important thing than what we're doing right now for your life today and for eternity. Listen. And you who have ears, hear the word of God and accept it. Know the Savior that it proclaims as your own Savior. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures, O Lord, and for our Savior's explanation of them to dull people like us. O Father, we pray that you would make us good soil. Lord, give fruit and give growth in our lives, that we would glorify you, O Lord. Lord, help us to be about the work of pruning and weeding the hearts you've given us. Lord, cause us to be people that would cut out the thorns and rip it up. That, Lord, we would dig down and cast out the stones. That, Lord, we would till up the soil so that it can receive the seed of the word. Oh Lord, wage battle against Satan, the enemy of our souls. Oh Lord, give us hearts ready to receive the Savior. Father, I do pray that even receiving, you would give comfort and conviction, that you would give convincing, wonderful arguments to heart and soul. But Lord, more than anything, I pray that you would convert us as a people. That you would make us to be those who were once dead and now live in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.